Welcome to the Vikings Horn, the first official podcast of the Nottingham Vikings Ball Hockey Club. I'm your host for today, Vikings captain and defenceman Pete Allen. I have with me defenceman Mike Lee.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Forward Tyron Anderson.
Hello, all.
Standing netminder and Sheffield Steelers spy, Joel Lindley.
Good afternoon.
And coming at you with a fan's perspective, we've got Andrew Crooks.
Hiya.
So how are we all finding lockdown, guys? Are we keeping busy, keeping fit?
It's amazing.
Marvellous.
Struggling.
Fairly difficult, I think, to keep motivated. Staying in the house, you know, for best part of over, you know, 18 hours, minus your sleep, it gets a bit tedious after a while, but you know, got to keep things in perspective. You know, there's a lot of things going on at the moment, and definitely for the right reasons. So we just need to stick it together, and hopefully we beat this virus, and that's the main thing, I think, from this all. Would you not all agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Pete, you introduced us as a Viking horn. I think it'd be good to mention Katie Louise Matthews, who won the competition to name our podcast. And I know if Katie wants to, she's going to be welcome as a guest in the future to one of our hopeful Round the Table podcasts. But yeah, it'd be just good to shout out to Katie, really, for a great idea for the name that we've used.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, congratulations, Katie. We'd said when we bought the competition out and we put it out there, we got a lot of people getting in touch with potential names for the podcast. And as a group, we picked Katie's choice out as the Vikings Horn. And like I say, one of the prizes is to come and join us for one of our future podcasts. It would have been for this one, but the situation we're in doesn't allow that. But like we say, you're very much welcome to come down and spend an evening or day with us when we're performing one of the other podcasts in the future. So we'll look forward to having you down with us. Moving on, a bit of sad news coming out of the world of sport. It's been a sad couple of days, really, last 24 hours. I want to say from all at Nottingham Vikings, rest in peace to Colby Cave of the Edmonton Oilers. He passed away yesterday after suffering a bleeding on the brain. He was only 25 years old, a young talent lost. All our thoughts and best wishes and prayers go out to his family, friends, and everyone at the Edmonton Oilers Ice Hockey Club. Also, today we have lost motor racing legend Sir Stirling Moss, aged 90 after suffering a long illness. One of the greatest to ever get in a car, winning 212 races in all aspects of motor racing that he took part in. And also, most recently, this afternoon, it's been announced that Peter Benetti, Chelsea Football Club legend, has also died after suffering from a long illness, age 78. He's been described as one of the greatest ever footballers to play for Chelsea, and he was part of the 1966 England World Cup winning squad. So, once again, all our thoughts and wishes at the Nottingham Vikings Ball Hockey Club goes out to their families, friends, and all associated with those clubs. Moving on, guys, we want to explain briefly what we're here for. We're going to be bringing you information regarding our games, training, but we're also going to delve outside of the Vikings itself. We're going to talk about ball hockey in general. Hopefully we're going to get reports from games that are going on around the league, any rule changes and how the structure of the league happens. And also, we're going to go outside of hockey in general. We're going to talk sports and things happening in life generally, really. So we look forward to bringing that to you as much as we can. So we'll start off with ball hockey. Before we go into our last game, a bit of a report and chat about that. It was a few weeks ago now, but we feel it's important to bring it to you. Let's describe what ball hockey is to anyone who might be listening who hasn't played ball hockey before. I'll start off by saying, if anyone ever comes to me and asks me what ball hockey is, I will always say to them, well, picture ice hockey, take away the ice, take away your skates, you swap the puck for a ball, you take away a large percentage of the physicality, and you've got ball hockey. But I know you guys can probably extend on that a little bit more. So, Mike, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'd say is you don't need to spend a lot of money on buying a load of full hockey gear. I mean, basically, we'll talk about the training sessions in a bit, but if you just turn up with, just shorts and trainers on and T-shirt, we'll supply kit, like a stick and gloves, if you give us a bit of advance notice. And really, for just the training sessions, it's as little as that. And I think you've covered everything else. Certainly, there's no player checking, and we're playing with an orange ball instead of a puck on a non-ice surface, which is typically a sports hall, I think, generally we end up playing in. So, yeah, if anyone wants to add anything else.
Joel, sorry, Andrew, just one second. Joel, I just want to ask you, because you're relatively new to the game.
You've
come down to a few training sessions. What was it that drawn you to ball hockey, and what did you like? What made you come back?
I've been a massive fan of ice hockey since I was a small child, and I've obviously been, as you said at the beginning, a massive Steelers fan. Sorry to all the Panthers fans listening. And I've just loved hockey. I recently moved to Nottingham to live with my partner. And back when I lived in Sheffield, I did play recreational ice hockey. Just because I wanted to get into it, I just love the sport, you know. So I did play a bit then, and then when I moved to Nottingham, I sort of like put it on the back burner for a bit. I just didn't have time for it really. And then recently, an opportunity opened up. There was a training course at the Nottingham Arena, where I met Mike, and I signed up for this course and met Mike, and he mentioned to me about the Vikings, and I just turned up. And
brilliant. Yeah, Andrew, you're going to say something, Andrew.
I was going to say, if you wanted to improve your fitness, then it's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah,
and
100%.
And not to underestimate it, actually, because if you've not been to a training session for quite a long while, and then so if you turn up to a training session, then you don't turn up for quite a while, you can see a massive difference when you next turn up, because it does make you very, very tired. You are going to sweat.
That's one of the things that surprised me. I didn't realise how much of a workout it was going to be. You know, I mean, as you said, I'd stood in as netminder for the last game that was played, and even that is just an absolute workout. So draining. But you know, it's a good way, like you say, good way to keep fit.
Good, yeah. Tyrone, me and you have been playing we started going down, I think, together. Back a few years ago now. I wouldn't like to say how long ago it was. What is it about ball hockey that's kept you going back? Is it, I mean, something for me that I always take out of ball hockey is it is something different. Like, there's so many people, I'm not from the Nottingham area, so a lot of people don't, around my area, don't really see or appreciate what it is. So I often have to explain to people what it is. What about the game keeps you going back, and what do you talk to people about when you're talking about ball hockey? What do you mention about it?
Well, I think if I'm to talk about ball hockey, I think it's the fun element of it all. You know, you can meet lots of new people around playing ball hockey, whether that be playing ball hockey with your friends, i.e. yourself, Pete, and a few other people with the Vikings team, or just meeting new people in general. I mean, I've been fortunate over the number of years I've been playing now to play for a lot of other teams. And it wasn't just to go and join other teams, but it was actually just to explore something different and get to know different people. And there's a competitive edge to it as well. So anyone who thinks that you just come down and it's just a game, it's a game, but everyone wants to win. And that's, you know, the competitive edge of every game is still there. And, you know, everyone just leaves it on the deck as such, or in the sports hall. So, you know, once we finish the game, we all shake each other's hands and, yeah, you know, we forget about it. We share beers together and go from there. So for me, it's it's just the fun element of it, and most importantly, while I'm doing it, I'm keeping fit. So, you know,
I think what you mentioned there is very important regarding the camaraderie that sort of goes on around ball hockey. Where it has its serious aspects, obviously it's competitive. Although it's not as physical as things like ice hockey, it is still a physical game, and you come into contact with your players, etc., etc. The friendliness around the game and is massive, and everyone does sort of get on. And like say, after a game or a couple of games or a tournament, you can all go out afterwards and have a good time, go out for meals with teams and as a team. So I think that's important for anyone who'd be listening to this who hasn't played ball hockey before, who'd want to maybe come and try it, is it's a friendly atmosphere and all people are welcome. It does discriminate or anything like that. You can all take part. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. Very, very new to the sport. If anybody does like ice hockey or is a massive fan of ice hockey and you want to give it a go and don't plan to the ice, then come down to one of the sessions on Friday night. When we get out of lockdown, definitely show your face. It's good fun. It's, you know, everybody that goes down there, great people, you know.
Great stuff.
Definitely agree.
I definitely recommend it.
Open to any level of fitness as well, or age or sex. I mean, at the end of the day, anyone can come down. Absolutely. And of course, the fame, fortune, and women, which is what we all do it for.
Oh, obviously, that's why I worry about. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on, we're going to talk about our last game. Unfortunately, it ended in 7-4 defeat. Yeah.
Pete, can we just mention that we train on a Friday night between...
Yeah, I have that in.
So 7 and 8, between 7 and 8.30 on Friday nights, it's at the Nottingham Sports and Fitness Centre. So that's down at Farnborough Road at Clifton. And there is more information on our website as well if you want to have a look and get in contact on Facebook as well if you want to come along to a session.
Yeah, spot on. Thanks for that, mate. So, moving on to our next game, we don't know when our next game is, so no point talking about that. It ended in a 7-4 defeat versus the Hull River Kings. We'd already suffered defeat early on in the season to the same opponent. It was strongly considered going into this season, Grizzly Bears were going to be, they're expected to win this league, basically. And it would be between ourselves, Hull, and Nottingham Hawks as to who we're going to fight to go for second place. This ended in a 7-4 defeat. Now, we were hit by the news earlier that week that Morgan, our usual netminder, was ill with some disease. It was not coronavirus, so that's fine. He's now all well and better. But this meant that we were a netminder short as we didn't currently have any cover. Now, in steps our man, Joel. Okay. Joel, have you ever played in goal before?
No. Never.
So, never. I just want you to explain and give us your opinion on what made you decide you were going to go in net? Because let's set straight. You weren't signed up to play for us. However, we can call on you to be an emergency goalie because you hadn't come down and signed up with us before the sign up deadline. Let's say.
Yeah, I think Benny said that I'd just missed the sign on period for the remainder of that season. So obviously I was a bit gutted about that, and I think my first training session went quite well, and it seemed that I'd fit quite well in the structure of how you guys play hockey. So it was obviously very upsetting for me that I couldn't get into the team. And obviously when this opportunity arose, I thought it was a good opportunity for me to sort of give my input and try and do something for the team while I could, sort of thing. Yeah. And obviously it gave me a chance to get the kit on and sort of play for the Vikings. I mean, I'd never played in goal before. I mean, Jamie brought the kit on the Friday. The game was on the Sunday. Jamie brought the kit on a Friday. And even putting the kit on was a struggle, man. Like, I was sweating before I'd even got the kit on. Like, it's such a difficult job. And if you look at a goal, a netminder, and you just think, well, he's just stood there, and it's not the case at all. It's such a draining position. Like, hats off to Morgan, who does it every week. Like,
well, to be honest, mate, it was an outstanding performance. It was big of you to step in and do it in the first place.
I think I did all right.
You did an absolutely fantastic job. I mean, I think anyone who hadn't seen you play before in goal, or didn't know you, wouldn't have been able to come away from that game saying that you'd never played in goal before. I think you'd put on a fantastic performance, and it was noted by fans of both our team and members from the opposition, and their fans also commenting on the day. Yeah. And you quite rightly got our player of the game come the end of the day. And once again, well done for that. It was a massive respect to you, and it helped the team big time. And again, it was a 7-4 defeat, but it was by no means a disgrace to the team or yourself. So once again, thank you, Joel, for that.
Can I just clarify that I thought Joel was going to buy everyone McDonald's if he had a shutout on the day as well.
KFC.
Yeah. I stand
KFC. I mean, we still went to KFC, but I mean, I didn't see anyone getting their wallet out. But you know what? We thought in the circumstances
you should have all bought me KFC.
Yeah, we should have all bought him one. Let's be honest. I just want to touch on the game itself. Tyrone, you were playing alongside as a forward, Andrew, yeah. You were there as our ever-present supporter. The game started off really well for us. We actually took the lead. And for the first few minutes, I thought we were on top and well deserved the lead. I thought the news that we were not having our usual netminder in between the sticks had got out and was known by the opposition earlier that week, which is fine. I think members of our Stafford had told them, so that's fine. But you could tell they were looking at taking shots from quite deep just to test you early. But other than that, I thought we were working their defence and their netminder quite hard. The netminder, by the way, also had an outstanding game, it has to be said. And I'd been critical after our previous game against Hull that we didn't really come out of the box even for the first two periods. We were quite slow, and we didn't seem to want it as much as them. I couldn't say that about this game. I thought we were a lot better. Unfortunately, after we went 1-0 up, we lost 3-4 goals in quite quick succession. Maybe unfairly. I think we just got caught a bit cold once we took the lead. Tyrone, what would you say about that opening period especially? It started off so well, but then seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, well, I think we had a fantastic start to the game. We came out of the blocks, ran hard, was moving the ball around really well. And we noticed a weakness on their netminder, which we tried to exploit. And that's where we got the first goal. Obviously, for the purpose they might be listening, I won't say what that is for future games. But that's what we found. I think, like you're saying, Pete, is they knew that we didn't have our normal netminder in, and Joel did a fantastic job to step up to the plate and go in there. You know, commendable thing for him to do. And I think they thought they were just going to shoot from wherever they needed to and not actually take the game seriously at one point. And I think we then started to try and you know counteract that a little bit, and we should just continue playing our own game. And that's when I think we started conceding from there, because then we wasn't playing our game. I think that was what I put on the first period.
I definitely thought the goal we scored early was a wake-up call for the opposition. I thought they woke up after that, and they realised, hey, let's be honest, if you're 2 days before a game, you hear they haven't got a netminder. They're going to have someone in net who's never played in net before. As a club, as a team going into that game, you're going to have one or two, maybe more than not, thinking, well, all we need to do is shoot and we'll score.
Yeah.
Score one or two. I'm not saying that was necessarily the case with them, but I just felt like that first goal we scored woke them up a little bit. And then I did notice they then started running in close to the goal and getting shots off closer and making more hockey plays, let's say, to create the goals. Andrew, from a fan's perspective watching, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they underestimated the Vikings at the beginning, but I think that first goal, they started trying to play and they were shooting from the halfway line, the red line, and then backing it up, that they were chasing the ball in. So it wasn't so much the build-up play, it was them long shots chasing the ball, trying to turn the defence over. And I think when you have got a new keeper in who you don't really know how they deal with the ball being hit at them or where they're going to rebound it to, you're already on the back foot because you're trying to guess what the keeper's going to do. And also with them putting the ball behind you, you're having to think or looking over your shoulder where the forward is. And I think that was one of the problems that Vikings had, was that when the ball was going behind, both D-men sometimes were running after the same ball. So then your outlook, your first pass out isn't on straight away. So you're having to look for that pass. And I think Vikings did very well, but I think that was one of the problems, is that when you've got a new netminder in, then, yeah, like I said, you don't know where they're going to put the ball out to. And kind of, I think communication was key and there was some good communication, but I think, like I said, we're having a new netminder and it didn't kind of give you that oomph to take the game to them, almost.
I think, in all honesty, that we went into that game not expecting a lot because I'm a new keeper. We sort of went into that game expecting anything other than a loss was a bonus sort of thing. I think that ideology sort of flowed through, and not anyone's fault in particular. I just think it's sort of, with them not, like you said, not taking the game seriously, like shooting from quite far out, and you know, it stopped us playing our game. And I think we were panicked about that.
I was just going to say, equally at the same time, though, I think as forwards, myself and my other forward colleagues, I hope won't mind me saying this, but I think we had to be a bit critical of ourselves there, because with you being a new netminder, Joel, which did, again, a fantastic job, I think it was up to us to make sure that we wasn't stopping them long shots getting in. And I think it starts from there, really. You know, every game we would make sure we closed down them long shots. And if that was going to be their gameplay, then that we needed as forwards to make sure that our shifts were shorter to stop them from going in. And I think at that point of time, you know, Coach Benny told us, don't get them shots in. And we allowed a couple in early doors. You know, and that set the doors from there. And we, as forwards, needed to look at ourselves. And, you know, rightly so, at the end of that period, we were told to make sure that we're closing down and we're working as a team to make sure that we're stopping them shots from going in, because that's the job of any forward, to stop shots coming in. Would you not all agree?
Yeah, 100%. And I think when we, in that period of play where we went from 1-0 up to, I think, 4-1 down, from a defensive point of view now, what I'm talking about is we did make some sloppy plays, and myself, I was probably guilty of that more than anyone for that passage of play. We found ourselves playing sloppy balls across our own net, and there just seemed to be, for 5 to 10 minutes there in the game, there just seemed to be a bit of panic when we had the ball on our sticks, and instead of playing hockey, we sort of, I don't know, there was a feeling of panic there, and that sort of reverberated around the team, and instead of playing our hockey, we were making sloppy mistakes, and I think that cost us there. I just want to move on into a bit further down to the game now, because we went 4-1 down, and then we started to come back into it. Now, there was an important part of the game which I personally didn't realise had transpired, to be honest, where I think I've got hold of the ball in my own half. I've took it past a couple of players, and then off balance I've shot, and the ball, all I've heard is a ping on a bar, okay, and I'm blocked, my vision's blocked by two D men. I didn't see it. I think my head was down after I'd shot as well, keeping my balance. Andrew, it was you who came to me or shouted down to me when there was a stoppage in play, saying that actually went in the net. And afterwards, there was also a couple of other people that are watching who had also mentioned that the shot had gone in. I couldn't say whether it had or not because I didn't see it. But how sure were you that? And bear in mind, I think this came at a point where we'd either got it back to 4-2 or 4-3.
Well, it obviously definitely went in, but when it was on, obviously the refs are trying to run up, so you can't blame the refs. And it went just inside the post, so it wasn't an obvious hit the back bar and come back out. It was just inside the post and came and kind of bounced back onto his pad and back out. So it was easy to miss, but obviously in Sheffield, when you're up in on the almost concourse level thing, and then you could see it from there, but refs didn't give it, kind of. Yeah,
100%. And I thought it was important because I'd been told this, and I went over to the refs again during the stoppage in play, and I did mention the girls, look, I'm being told that actually went in. But I thought the guys on the day did a decent job. I mentioned before I brought it up that I always respect officials, as we should do. You're doing a great job. This has been mentioned to me. What was your insight? What did you see? And their opinion both was that it had come off the bar. As a player and as captain, I have to accept that. It was unfortunate if it was to have gone in. It could have changed the game a little bit because of the position, the scoreline at the time. But I mean, we lost the game 7-4. So I'm not going to turn around. I won't going to turn around and say you've cost us the game. It was just one of those episodes in the game that it might have gone one way, it might have helped us a little bit, but it didn't. So I think we all have to move on. And like I say, I never even seen it. It just went off the end of my stick and I heard a ping. So it we'll move on from there. As for the rest of the game, like I say, we got quite close. I think am I right in saying we got as close as 4-3?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, 4-3. I think it was 4-3, wasn't it? And then they pulled away. We got one back, I think, at 5-3 to make it 5-4. It might be 6-4. Apologies, it's a few weeks ago now. But then they got those insurance goals to come away the 7-4 win. Again, I just want to mention the fact that the River Kings were brilliant in victory, let's say, and in complimenting the performance of our netminder Joel. And the team as well.
I would just like to say it could have been more than 7. I did make a few good saves, you know.
Oh, a lot of good saves.
Unfortunately, there were no cameras there to capture it, but you know.
No, and also I just want to add as well that the River Kings netminder had a fantastic game. Also, it was a great game for both netminders, and without them, it would have probably been a lot higher scoring game. So well done to both of you. Moving on, Andrew, I want your opinion from a fan's perspective. One thing I've took away from this season, now it's come to an end, is the fact that I feel like we've been a line short due to injury and other reasons, especially on these key games against teams like Hull. Would you say that was something that we need to improve on next season? Availability, signings?
I'd say, yeah, no, I think you need a consistent team. So players that have played together week after week and gone to training and trained together, because there's no point of turning up to a game and trying to mix and match players. So I think it has to be consistency and learning to play with each other and knowing what each of them are going to do, because there's no point of turning up to a game and expecting it to all click.
Yeah, 100%. Anyone want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, not taking anything away from Hull's performance, we were short that weekend. There were quite a few players missing.
Yeah, and we that was the case in the other game against them also. Again, look, I'm not here to make excuses. I felt like we had the players there to win both games. We didn't. And again, like you say, it's not taking anything away from Hull's victory. But I feel we were a line missing that would have been there from making the games close, especially the first game. I thought fitness-wise and line-wise, we would have at least won one of those games. Tyrone, Joel, would you agree or disagree with that?
I say I'm quite new to the team anyway, so I'll let Tyrone answer that one.
When he takes himself off mute.
Yeah, when he takes himself off mute.
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, I think we just need to... We had the people there. Like you say, we're just a slight bit short. We had the fitness there. And the thing is with their team, they're very big and strong. And you know, and we've got the running, we've got the legs, and we could have had it. I just think, yeah, I think back to Andrew's point, I think, you know, and again, I look at myself in this one, I think we need to maybe train a lot more together, understand each other's plays, and it'll come together. But I think we've got the nucleus of a very strong team. We can all improve. And we've shown before that we can beat the best of teams out there. We just need to make sure that we're all on each other's wavelength. We're all running as a team, and we're just having them short shifts and you know, just playing hard, really. Do that, and we can beat anyone.
100%. And in terms of getting new players in, Mike, you someone who's been quite instrumental in trying to get players into the club, as you did with Joel here. How's the recruitment going?
Well, getting a netminder for the last game on a bad start.
That was fantastic, yeah. Spot on.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few guys come along, and we've got a new Austrian import, Walter, joined us last season. That wasn't my doing. I think he joined of his own volition. But I think what you're talking about, getting a bigger core of players. What we've had this season, we've had the same guys turning up for training week in, week out, but it's been the same few guys. And I think the key will be, when hopefully the season starts again, is we get a bigger core of regular attendees at that training session and get a bit of chemistry going between those guys. And it's going to make a difference when we step out into the court. We're going to play more as a team.
Definitely. You look at the best sides in ball hockey, and you can just tell that they've played each other with each other for years on matches, but I think more importantly, they've trained with each other like regularly, and you can tell by the way that they're playing. Back when I've played in teams that have trained regularly as a whole, as lines, you know, we've been successful. So that's something that we need to definitely get a grip on with the Vikings. And I think that's possible. We just need to sort that out a bit in the team. You just mentioned there about Walter, Mike. I just want to mention quickly, there's also tournaments that take place throughout the country throughout the whole year, and the teams take part in these tournaments from all around the country, from Scotland, Wales, whoever applies to take part. And you and yourself and Walter, Mike, took part in the Fantastic Fours in Gateshead quite recently.
We did
at the start of the year. Just give us a bit of an insight on that. I know it's a very well-run tournament and very enjoyable to play in, as I've done it twice myself. But just describe your experience there for us.
Well, basically, me and Walt, we went along as much as anything to get a bit more experience, because we acknowledge we're both fairly new to ball hockey. I mean, you know, been playing for probably less than a year now. So we thought it was a good opportunity, whilst there weren't other games on, to go and get a bit of playing experience, and really appreciative to Glasgow Phoenix for giving us the opportunity to join them and represent them for the weekend. So it was myself and Walt was the only Vikings, like, travelling up, but obviously there's a few Vikings sort of playing in the Glasgow team. So what do I think? I'd say it was a great experience. The hardest bit for me was the big breaks between games, because old men like me and Walt, we're both in our 40s, we're really stiffening up, you know, when there's like an hour or two break, and it was that was quite difficult when you had several games in the day. It was also an eye-opener to see the standard. I mean, I watched a couple of London Jets games, and they're made up predominantly from Canadians, Americans, and some Slovaks as well, I think. And indeed, I think some of these guys have even been selected to play in the Worlds. And wow, I mean, the quality, it was just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? They're great to watch.
Accuracy of passing, I'd say. And there was just a constant barrage of well-aimed hard shots on goal. I mean, geez, I wouldn't want to be Joel if I was netminder in that game. But and also the fitness of the guys, you know, it was just another step up. But it was a really good day, and me and Walt managed to pick up points as well for Glasgow, which we're absolutely chuffed. And Glasgow Phoenix qualified for the middle group on the second day. And I really wanted to thank the Matt and the Glasgow guys for giving us the opportunity to go and play with them. The only thing we didn't do, which we might do more of next time, is go out and enjoy some of the evening session as well.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you were playing in a tournament in Newcastle, one of the quieter areas of the country. I mean, what would you do on an evening time in Newcastle, eh? What would you possibly do there?
Go and have a quiet cup of tea somewhere, I suppose. But I mean, I think you've opened the floodgates to a potential opportunity to have a Vikings road trip up there.
100%.
Walt's got a van, I think he can lend us, and you know, maybe that's something we're paying here, is to go up there en masse and put in a Vikings team.
Yeah, well done to you both. It's also just worth mentioning, as regarding ball hockey, we didn't probably mention it earlier on in the podcast, that there is a road there to go and represent Great Britain or any other country that you may be from. There's trials where you go down and trial for the Great Britain national team, and then there's tournaments held throughout Europe. Slovakia is an example where they go and play and play in front of quite large crowds. So there's always that incentive there for you as well if you're new to ball hockey.
Yeah, I'll do that in my second year of playing. I'll play for GB, yeah.
Well, that's the aim, isn't it, Mike? Yeah.
That's a new netminder, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, as Mike mentioned earlier on in the podcast, there's more information on the Vikings and ball hockey in general, including how you can come down and train with us. And it's all available at our brand new website. It's www.nottinghamvikings.com. That's nottinghamvikings.com. So go and give that a visit. Player profiles, information on our next game, past games, photos. It's all being done, so you'll enjoy a look there. Okay, moving on. We're going to speak briefly about the Nottingham Panthers. We're all Nottingham Panthers fans here, except for one, who's the Steelers spy. But this subject affects the Sheffield Steelers as well. The Elite League got cancelled early, based on the coronavirus outbreak. Rightly so, I think we can all agree. Now, there's been some disagreement with the latest news regarding season tickets. Should there be refunds issued? Should there be games given for free for next season? How do we see this? Now, I'm going to pass this on mainly. I have an opinion on it, but as I'm a non-season ticket holder and I didn't attend too many games last season for various reasons, I'm going to pass this on to Mike first. Your opinion on this, on okay. How it's been handled by the club.
Well, I've got two sort of views on this, or two viewpoints that I can understand. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, and for me, I'm going to be kind of happy with any hockey going back, hopefully later this year. So it's not ideal, and I guess the club have done what they can do, and not to sort of take money out of the club. They've made the sort of alternative offer of some pre-season games. It's not perfect, but personally, I'm okay with that. I accept that the standard of hockey probably won't be fantastic because we're not going to have a full roster probably, and the team maybe isn't going to be gelling, or none of the teams will be. But I'm up for watching that, and the also the Magic Five tournament as well. So I'm just really keen to get sort of back to some hockey. But I can fully understand that if you've got like a family of four, all season ticket holders, maybe because of coronavirus, you've been impacted with your job. I could understand that you'd want the option of a refund because, you know, that money might be really, really valuable to you at the moment. So I can kind of see two schools of thought, but my final comment on that is, as a club, I want to see us bring back some of the really cracking players that we've had last season. And I think any of the other stuff that's going on could impact that, then that would be really disappointing, because, you know, I don't want us affecting the longevity of the club and the team that we're, the core that we're forming with our new coach and director of hockey.
Andrew, also season ticket holder, are you in agreement with that or disagreement?
I agree with the season, for so you get pre-season games for it, but playoffs is totally different to a Magic Five competition, because I just think that one of the reasons you go to the playoffs is because the team's battled all year to get there, and I just don't think it's right to kind of replace it with a pre-season tournament where players haven't really gelled, or you may not even have a full team out. So to be paying that amount of money to go and watch that kind of hockey, I just don't think it's really value for money to be paying that amount for a pre-season tournament. But with the season ticket and being given the pre-season games, I totally agree with that. I think the club
have... What would you have done instead of the Magic Five, sorry?
Maybe a tournament at Christmas where the teams have actually started playing together. There's that chemistry. You're guaranteed to have all your players in. So kind of, and I don't know how the league are going to make it fair because that game is going to be put towards the league and who's going to win the league. And it comes down to if somebody like a Belfast or a Cardiff end up playing one of the Scottish teams who aren't as good as your Sheffields, your Nottinghams, then they're almost getting 2 points and a win for free almost. So if it came down to the end of the season and your Cardiffs or your Belfast or your Sheffields or your Nottinghams needed 2 points to win the league, and a team's played in this Magic Five competition and they've got their 2 points but have played a lower quality team to get them extra 2 points, and a team like, just say Cardiff had to play us, play Panthers, or Panthers had to play Sheffield and one of us lost, and that was the final 2 points that either team needed to win the league. I just don't think, I don't know how you can make it fair.
So, do you want to answer that?
Well, it's a funny one, this one. For the Magic Weekend, I think it's a good idea, if I'm honest with you. Because for one, there is a refund on offer for people if they want that, but also it counts to a league, so it's a league format, and I think it'll be a good way at the start of seasons for hockey fans to get back together. And actually, hockey fans are quite reasonable people anyway, so I think, to be fair, the majority of hockey fans would still go if possible and they're able to. So I think it's a good replacement to the playoffs. But I understand Andrew's point of view in terms of that you work so hard to get to the playoffs, so you've got that part of it as well. On the other hand, the Panthers thing, I think Panthers, unfortunately, I'm going to be a bit of a killjoy on this one, because I think Panthers have been disengaged fans for a number of years now, unfortunately. And I think it's due to how they've acted in the last couple of seasons why people might not be happy in terms of how they've come to the decision around how they're going to divvy out the rest of the games. You've got a couple of things that Mike made a good point in terms of you've got a family of four and whatever, and it's not in their release, in their press release, there wasn't many considerations put to that in terms of what you can do. It doesn't really sit easy with me and the fact that you've got four or five games remaining and they have told you automatically near enough that you're going to have pre-season games, because that's what the Panthers organisation have been about recently. They've been about it not being about for the fans. And I look at other clubs, I look at Steelers, I look at, you know, Devils. In terms of how they're acting with their fans at the moment and they're going about it, it's, you know, if I was a Steelers fan at the moment, if I was a Devils fan, I'd actually say, you know what, keep that money. Keep it. Because, you know what, they give back to the to their fans, and I don't think the Panthers organisation do, unfortunately. I see many games whereby, you know, Steelers are offering £5 tickets to their to their fans. And you look at the Challenge Cup last season, the attendances at the arena was shocking. You know, why not just say, you know what, we're not going to give you pre-season games, but we're going to give you a competitive game, and that be the Challenge Cup. The fact that they've put pre-season into their press release, I think automatically disengage the fans. I think it's just a typical way which the Panthers organisation have been working the last couple of years.
Okay, and you made a good point there regarding, I think, the Sheffield Steelers. When this, and Cardiff, because when this first got brought out and the news came out regarding what the clubs were doing, I didn't see a lot of complaining from Sheffield Steelers fans particularly. They were happy, yeah, keep our money. And I've seen that quite a lot on social media. And I wondered what the difference was. And
number of games. And
I think you've explained it quite well there. Joel, as a Sheffield Steelers fan, I know you don't. I know you've not been to too many games. Yeah. But how do you feel about that? If you bought a season ticket or you'd spent money on the club, you know, if the club's treated you the right way by putting on offers for you to go to various games,
I used to get a season ticket when I was younger, and the supporters club for the Steelers is a really, really good, like, there's a good vibe about it. Everybody's, you know, it's very involving, you know, everybody, I mean, we used to go to, like, they used to have, like, signing sessions at, like, I think it was Brannigan's or something in Sheffield. They used to have, like, big signing sessions where you could go meet the players and stuff like that. It used to be really, really, like, there's a very togetherness about it all, which it was really good. I mean, I've not heard much about the season side of it from the Steelers, but what I did see yesterday, I don't know if the Panthers are doing the same, but anybody that bought tickets to the playoffs, they're offering refunds. And if you don't want a refund, the tickets are valid for the Magic Park tournament. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I've not read much about the Magic Park tournament.
That's fine.
I've only seen snippets of it about on the Steelers pages and what have you. But just on the face of it, I think, if you want a refund, you can get your money back. If not, your tickets are still valid to some sort of event. And I think
that's for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Magic.
Yeah. Park, so this is, I'm going to come at it from, and again, I will stress, I have not got a season ticket for the Nottingham Panthers. I attended a handful of games last season. And I've been following it from afar, basically. So, and I also want to stress the importance that of people spending their hard-earned money on to go and watch their favourite club play. People will spend money on season tickets, which they might not. It might not be financially doable for them, but they'll still do it because they love their club. And then the points that all you guys have made pretty much have come back with me and said, you know, we're feeling like we're not being treated that well from the club, and I get the impression that that's a large part of the fan base feel that way. So, but my opinion is based on the fact that I'm going to try and come at it from the club a little bit. Nottingham Panthers, Sheffield Steelers, however way you want to put it, whether you like it or not, is a business, okay? And for them to turn around and say, For the games that you've missed out on for the last five games or four or five games, I think Panthers had Manchester, Cardiff, Coventry, and Guildford to play. for them to turn around and say, right, we'll give you, the season ticket holders, your money back for those games, we'll work it out of a fee. The money has gone into the club that was paid for those season tickets, right? And a lot of that money, I feel, will then be used throughout that season, and it will also go into the season after. Now, no one currently knows what's going to happen with the following season, whether it will start on time. There's probably even a little question mark on, I'm sure it will happen. I'd like to think it would happen, but you might not necessarily fit a whole season in if you want things gone to a certain date. If I'm thinking of it from a business point of view, and again, I'm not even sure I like using the word myself, but from a business point of view, for me to give them fans that money back, are you then taking away the possibility of signing players, that key players back, like let's say Sam Herr, for example? You're going to be giving away, let's be honest, Nottingham Panthers aren't the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? The finance available isn't on that level. So are we then, if I was to offer you as Nottingham Panthers fans, if they were to keep that money and not give refunds for those four games, but that was the difference between you keeping the likes of Sam Herr and or bringing in players of a similar standard next season, would you then say, okay, keep my money? Now, before you answer, I understand that you don't feel like you've been treated as fans how you would like to be treated for various reasons. Like, I'm not going to say anything about that because you guys are season ticket holders again, okay? But if I was to give you that option and the club, and that's how the club is ran, don't necessarily know that's how it is, but I guess it is. It would all go towards, some of it will go towards players in the future. What would you say to that? Let's start with Tyrone.
Well, I think there, Pete, is you know, you've made some good points, and it is a business, but the option which you're given is the club treating the fans and putting it on a level to the fans. Unfortunately, this is where the Panthers organisation don't do that. So I think if they went out and said to all their fans and balloted however they wanted to do it and say, can you just let us know what would we do? But we need to tell you that if you take this money away from the club, it will affect the standard and the brand and the product on the ice next season. I think no one really could say the next season they're disappointed if they buy a season ticket and they don't get the quality of player they wanted. But I think it's all about putting it out there on a level and saying, this has affected us, has affected a lot of other companies, coronavirus, unfortunately, there. And that's my point at which I was raising before around your Steelers and your Devils. Is I think they level with their fans a lot more than what we do.
Yeah. By hearing what you're saying there and what you have said, like I say, I took that on point. And when we brought Joel in, obviously, with the information on the Sheffield Steelers, what we're saying is here is that they've led by example in a way of how you as Panthers fans would rather have been treated, putting offers on for more offers for tickets for games, more incentives for fans. Is that along the right lines? Is that what we're saying?
I think it was a bit naive of Panthers to say, and that obviously we didn't know that coronavirus was going to affect it, but to offer a game at the end of a season as one of your games, I don't understand why Panthers couldn't have said, your extra game is this Challenge Cup game. But no, they decided, we're going to give you the first, or one of the legs of the playoffs. You'd hope that Panthers would make it to the playoffs, or the quarterfinals of the playoffs at least. But to say to fans, we're not going to give you a Challenge Cup game, we'd rather you have a playoff game if we get there. Obviously, Panthers should make the top eight of any elite league season, but you're putting yourself on the line there from doing that, and kind of that's where your extra game come from. But also, like Tyrone said, kind of sometimes we just feel like cash cows, kind of Panthers users and milkers to make as much money as possible. they don't very often do cheaper tickets. There's not really that much discount for having a season ticket. So the plus side of having a season ticket at the moment isn't massive, and it's not amazing. It's not, you don't say, maybe you get four or five games for free, but that's what a club has to do to get fans in and have that bulk of cash to keep this, or know how much you can spend on a season. And it's the same in any sport, that you need that season ticket money to know how much you can spend that season, but you have to look after the fans to get them coming back through the door. And I think the problem is Panthers fans are their own worst enemy, because we do turn up week in, week out, and we put the money through the club, and kind of we've been saying it for years and years that we're not being treated the best. Not compared to Cardiff and your Sheffields, like Tyrone said, but...
So what you say that, Andrew. Sorry, Pete, I was going to say, but you say that, Andrew, about the people turn up. But if we look at last season and we look at the Challenge Cup, I've never seen attendances as low. Panthers would have been losing money for them Challenge Cup games. So I think, to be fair, this is just... not a nail in the coffin of the club, because I would hate to say that, but I think this is another thing where your people who have been going for the last 15, 20 years again, if you see 50 of them reduced, for me, that's big. That's massive, because they were your lifeline of your club.
Yeah.
So it's okay us turning up, but the people who have been there all the time, and these people who've been there, they've had enough. And Panthers, again, for their own, and the person who does the press releases for Panthers, I don't know who that is, but they need to look at themselves and think how they decide to put these out, because they're not done in constructive and the right ways. And I'll go back next season, regardless of what they do. But,
and this is my,
I enjoy watching it.
This was something that I was going to just bring up. I go, there's people talking about not renewing and things like that. And I don't know, I sometimes think that's a little bit quick off the mark, because everyone's missing hockey at the moment. And this is where I was going to come in about the Magic Five. I feel surely that people, we don't know when we're going to get to watch any hockey again. I think the vast majority who are dismissing this Magic Five would be just welcoming of any to go and watch any hockey of any sort of standard at the arena. And whether it's whatever game you go and see next is going to be a pre-season type hockey game, because no one's going to have any match practice. Back on to the whole season ticket fiasco. Would it not be easier for them to maybe turn around and say, look, an incentive of renewal? Because if you're renewing, you've had a season ticket last year where you're going to have missed four games. So the renewal price for the people from last season, could they not be given an incentive where they are not, let's say, 50 quid off their next season ticket price?
The thing is,
has that been put on the, do we think that's been put on the table as fans who have been offered their season tickets?
Pete, what you said earlier is, the truest thing you said earlier, I think, about this situation is we don't know. I mean, what goes on behind closed doors with the Panthers as a business? We're obviously not party to any of those discussions. We don't know what numbers are involved, and we're kind of second guessing what's going on and what decisions are being made on what basis. I think they are aware of how they are perceived by the fan base. I mean, Gary Moran came out and gave that sort of interview, sort of, I don't know, was it middle of last year or something, prior to the season? So I think there is an understanding of how Panthers fans feel. So I don't think that to say that they don't realise the impact of their communications. I think, I must have some appreciation of that. But I just feel that we don't know the full picture. We don't know what the finances are. We don't know what those discussions are behind closed doors. And whatever decisions they're making, they'll be making decisions based on good, solid business sense, because whatever you say about them, they're running it well as a business.
I think you're 100% right. Sorry, Tyrone, just one second. I think you're 100% right there. And the Nottingham Panthers in this situation, which was a situation at the start of the season which no one would have seen happening, it's not just Nottingham Panthers, this is any club. But I feel like in this situation, they have to put themselves, I mean, you can say, oh, we'll put the fans first, but they have to consider themselves in this situation, a situation that no one's seen coming last September, October, at the start of last season. And I think for them, we're talking about, yes, we can talk about incentives that they might not have, they could have done in the previous seasons to keep the fans happy. But in the now, we're in a situation that we didn't believe that we would be in. And that's as a club, a business, and fans. So it's got to be, I mean, I'd like to think everyone will come out of it happy-ish. I've also seen certain things, I've seen certain things about people who have been out of work, made out of work because of the coronavirus. I mean, it's hard, like that money back, if there was a refund incentive would be great. And I understand that. However, on the other side of it, the Panthers aren't necessarily responsible for who's in the job or out of work outside of their structure as a club. So they can't turn around and say, let's give them refunds, and those people, they can't have one. Do you understand what I'm saying there? It's very difficult, and for anyone to think that it'll be easy to come out of this and please everyone would be, I think, pretty naive, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Pete, I think the major issue for the fans isn't around the fact that, it's money out of this, and there are people out there who have lost jobs, livelihoods, and all the rest. I think that's the issue here. Is, you know, it's almost as if it's come out by saying, you know, if you're not getting your money back, it's going to be pre-season games, and next season you can renew if you want to. But what the point I'm trying to make about looking after the fans is they should then think, well, actually, this has impacted them as a business, which totally they've got to also look after themselves, but they've got to think about their fans who's potentially lost the job. So for me, a better option would have been, guys, we're going to give you the pre-season games, we're going to do what it is, but actually next season, for the people who have renewed or are going to renew, rather than splitting it over 3 months, which they give it, we'll let you split your cost over 12 months.
Yeah.
So for me, that would have been a much more better release to say 12 months, you pay season ticket. Because the way I see it now for a number of people is some people won't be able to renew for four kids or, you know, what, how many people they've got because they can't afford it. And if they can't pay that, they lose their seats. And that's what I say about these people who've been going year upon year upon year. Unfortunately, this is a situation not only the Panthers didn't expect, but they didn't themselves, you know, expect. Yeah. So I think it's sometimes, I know for them as a business, they have to think about everyone else. Really, really, because it's something really special. But it's going to allow them fans to pay over a number of months to counteract the loss they've had as well.
I think that would be a really good idea for me, is the most important part. I think that would be a really good idea. And if the club did bring in something like that, that would be spot on. I do want to move on. Joel, have you just got anything to add on to that? Sorry, you've not been a part. You don't have too much to say on this situation. I'd say you've not been too many games. But have you got anything to add with that?
I understand that. Obviously, just from what Tyrone's been saying, that things aren't looking very good at Panthers at the minute. Ice hockey has always been a massive fan orientated. As much as you can say what you want about the sport, but the fans have always made it for me. Like the game wouldn't be anything without the fans, and you could say that for any sport, really. If clubs aren't going to look after their fans, then they're not going to do very well, are they? They're not going to last a long time because the fans are what make it and keep it going. And I hope, obviously, we are in unprecedented times, so we've heard it a lot. And I hope everybody eventually sorts it out because we need to. Nobody knows what's going to happen because no one knows what's around the corner.
Yeah, it's a good debate that we've had. And I think it's a debate where there's not really a right or wrong answer. Like no one here has said anything wrong, in my opinion. I think it's all right and all good points. I wanted to throw in an opinion that might be given from someone who looks at it from a business side of things. But when I also agree with the fans' perspective. If we all sat here and nodded and agreed that we want refunds right now, it'd be a pretty short podcast. So I just wanted to bring in that other side of it for us all to just discuss.
Yeah. But
I think we can all agree it's unprecedented times, and we all need to hope that the fan bases around the hockey world are all doing okay, and anyone that is affected, we can get through it all together, and we just hope that hockey comes back and sport comes back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Pete, sorry, can I just make one last comment on that?
Yeah.
I just think this conversation, I haven't listened to the latest Cat's Whiskers podcast, but I bet you the same conversation's been had there and the same topics have been brought up. And actually a shout out to Cat's Whiskers, because I listen to a Panthers Elite League podcast with a lot of knowledge and expertise. Highly recommend listening to those guys and girls. But I just reckon this conversation has been replicated everywhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I've seen the forums, I've seen everything, it's all been replicated. And again, I've read them through, and I don't think people are making wrong comments. I think everyone's entitled to that opinion, because it's such a weird scenario that we're in. As Mike just mentioned there, please do go and listen to the Cat's Whiskers podcast. I know we've spoken for a little while, but for more in-depth post-game, pre-game, Nottingham Panthers and Elite League information. They've also ran a show quite recently where someone we know quite well, Andy Haywood, giving his opinions on the best, his favourite Panthers players and Panthers moments over the years. So they're keeping things rolling with them. It's a fantastic listen, so please do go and give that a listen. You can get it on all your good podcast providers, Spotify, everyone. So yeah, do that for us, please. Quickly, this week we've seen Zach Fitzgerald leave the Brayhead Clan. Not seeing anything myself as to why this happened. What do we think, guys?
Crazy move. If you're going to bring in a new coach, you've got to give him time to build a squad. You look at Corey Nielsen when he was first brought in for the first couple of seasons. We didn't really click or anything, and then he signed that amazing team and we won the league. And I don't think that Fitzgerald has been given a fair crack at the whip at Brayhead. The team that he has, some of the players weren't actually players that he signed. He's took on players that have been given to him, and he's been expected to work with them. And also, at the beginning of the season, they were doing amazing. They were running away with the league. They were winning week in, week out, and then injury hit them, and then they start going further and further down the league. But I think if you're going to bring in, or if you're going to give him the job last year, then you've got to give him a couple of years to get his feet under the table.
Yeah. Anyone else?
We don't know the circumstances, do we, of why he's left? I mean, it was...
No.
Tyrone?
Well, I think that might be one of the major factors behind it. It's such a great start to the season. I mean, they came to... to us, and they beat us twice Saturday and Sunday, which I think took them top of the league. Since then, they just fell from grace, and I don't know whether that caused an issue. And like Mike says, you don't know what's happened. You really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Something might have happened behind the scenes, which we don't know about. But from a team to go from being, and they played some really strong hockey that weekend as well, where they beat us back to back, to going all the way down to, well, I mean, the season got finished, but just something just didn't seem right towards the end. They had some really good players as well, but yeah, it's disappointing. Good player to leave the league.
And Joel, just to finish off, mate, Zach Fitzgerald has been a part of in around the league of Sheffield Steelers and other teams in the past. What are your memories of him? What, you got anything to add? What if he does? I can't see a way back into the league for him for next season at the moment as a coach. But we don't know much about other jobs coming up. But what's your thoughts on that and your memories of him as in the league as a Sheffield Steeler?
So, see, I when I was watching the Steelers, I had the season ticket for the Steelers. It was in the Scott Allison era, which I don't know if any of you guys have been fans. Yeah. You know Scott Allison?
Yeah.
He was. He went to the dark side. I know he went to the old Panthers side, and I just remember the bust up between him and Dion Darling. Him and Dion Darling had a big showdown, and that, and it was one of a very memorable. But I'll never forget my first ever ice hockey game. My dad took me. It was New Year's Day, around 99, and there were Sheffield Steelers played Manchester Storm, and there was a bench clearance. Every single bloke on both sides were fighting each other, and I think that's what kept me going so long afterwards. Just
okay.
The massive.
Not many thoughts on Zach Fitzgerald then.
What about who's going to replace him?
Paul Thompson's name's been thrown in the hat.
Yeah. And Doug Christensen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two good replacements. Would love to have back in the Elite League. Okay. What I want to do quickly to finish off the our Elite League coverage is just laughing at that. As Panthers fans, I've got one Steeler here. I want to name three players that you'd have back next season. Let's start off with Mike.
Hare, obviously. For me, Matheson, Connolly, in terms of imports, okay. Obviously, in terms of Brits, Pearls, Lacko, Whistle, Tets, Hazeldine, Kelsall, Ollie, you know, all of those guys back. But yeah, imports, D was really strong, and, you know, I really love watching Matheson and Connolly.
Brilliant. Tyrone?
How many was it? Three?
Three, please, yeah.
Wow, okay. Sam Hare. It's got to be Sam Hare, hasn't it? Fantastic. Toussignon, came in, did a cracking
job.
Job.
Yeah, he's gone.
And also, that's one, but Conley.
Yeah. Good stuff. Andrew?
Sam Hare, Danny Fick. I think Danny Fick, if you look at his plus minuses, very good stay-at-home D-man. And I like Talbot. When Talbot came in, I thought he did very well. They'd be my three. And I'd go for, from another team, I'd go for CJ Mott, who came into Coventry. I thought he did very well.
Luke Ferrara for me as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fourth in the points in the league, I think.
That's the other thing, though. Next year, you're only allowed three under 23, so Panthers are going to have to get rid of somebody.
That's true. Okay. And Joel, I'm guessing you're looking for a return for Scott Allison.
No, I was actually going to pick three. Ron Shudra, and we'll go Kevin Ballybrook.
Brilliant. Okay.
Where's Dick Connolly then?
Shout out to the main man, Duba, the netminder.
Good stuff. Okay, so, as like I say, we all hope that we get hockey back as soon as possible so we can all get down the arena, have the same old banter, same old fun that we always do have. I hope I get to more games next season, so that's my first aim for the next season. Anyone else got anything to add before we go on to the final subject? No, we're all good.
No.
Nice one. Okay, so to finish off, we're going to go away from hockey and we're going to delve into football. So, non-league, starting from non-league, they've all called their seasons quits that's it. No titles handed out, no relegation as far as I'm aware. I think that's how it's been done. The professional level, however, from the Premier League down to League Two, is currently, it's all a bit up in arms. We're not quite sure what's happening. We're going to start off in the Premier League. Liverpool were miles ahead of everyone. We're probably going to win the league. However, what I'm asking you guys is, should they be handed the league? And for obvious reasons, I'm going to go to Tyrone first.
Right, so, well, I think, to be fair, I think when we look at, I mean, we talked about Pampers earlier about business and stuff like that. I think for the sake of the Premiership to be the Premiership of what we know, what we love, and what we enjoy right now.
We've lost you, Tyrone.
Andrew, do you want to cut in?
I think the only problem we're going to...
I can't see them being able to call the season as it is. I think they're going to have... Oh, no! Oh, hello?
You never know.
Hello?
There he is. The potato's working again.
So are we here? Hello?
I think in essence, yeah, you're here. Man City should have been handed the title.
Well,
that's what he said.
No. For the sake of football and in terms of the Premiership and the competition, the league can't afford to lose the amount of money if they don't finish the season. So I don't even think it. I'm not even talking about it from a Liverpool level now. I think they've got to finish the season, because if not, the quality of football, and it goes back to what we're saying, the quality of ice hockey is not going to be great going forward. So I think whatever it takes to finish every league, we've got to finish them. You know, it's not ice hockey and stuff like that whereby we can just say cut it. There's a lot of money in football, and if this does not happen, I think we're going to see repercussions for a long time going forward.
So I'm just going to, before I move on to someone else, I just want to not cut off necessarily, but I just want to mention there you spoke about money. Okay, if we hand Liverpool the title, we have to relegate the three that are in the bottom three, right? So if we're talking about money, how do we look at that? Because, you know, the way I look at it is, I don't believe, and finishing the season, obviously, is still an option. We've not been told when. I think the league, the professional level, the Football League and the Premier League, have got a date in mind that they're going to cut off, but we don't know that yet, but I think they've got a date in mind. Any football that we now watch between now and next season is going to be like pre-season football. I can't see a scenario where we don't play the rest of the season, but we give Liverpool the title and not bring relegation into it. And non-league have obviously called everything quits. Let's not forget, teams in non-league will get promoted into League Two. That now, I'm guessing, can't happen. So how do you go from the Premier League handing a title out and relegation, and then going doing the same in League, the Championship, League One, League Two, but then you're not making the Vanarama National League, you're not making a champion there to then come up into League Two?
I don't think the top division of non-league have cancelled theirs yet. I think it's the bottom three. So up until the league that Notts County are in, they're still playing. I think it's the ones below that have stopped and cancelled the league. Okay. So, but
same
you can't give Liverpool the title and then not relegate the people at the bottom of the league. But then, like you said, how do you decide who that is? Because if there's three or four games left and you're only 3 points off, then that's one win. And the money, like Tyrone said, the money that's in football, to drop out of the Premiership, you're looking at £60 million. And if you decide that you're not going to relegate anybody, teams in the Championship who have spent a lot of money to get into the Premiership and then have been stopped from getting there because of what's happened and no relegation, then you're opening a massive can of worms for the courts to sort out. But it's obviously people have paid lots of money to deal with this stuff. So.
Yeah, again, that magic word, money, comes into it, doesn't it? Joel?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to add to that for us? Do you have an opinion on football?
Well, I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so...
Let's move on then.
That season was pretty much over anyway. So, but with regards to Liverpool winning the league, I think for second place.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch what you said there.
If you give them a trophy for second place, and that'll be fine.
I mean, let's be honest. This is Liverpool haven't won the Premier League since it started, and this is something that the fans have been mocked about for many a year. I mean, if someone had turned around to them at the beginning of the season and said you'll be 20 odd points clear, but then about five games to go before the end of the season, maybe a few more probably. There's going to be a virus take over the world and the Premier League can be cancelled. I mean, the way that their Premier League seasons have gone, they might have even believed you. Do you know what I mean? It just seems like if it's not going to happen this year, like how long will they be waiting again?
Will it happen?
It's a crazy. I mean, thank God I'm not a Liverpool fan, put it that way. I'd be doing my nut right now, to be honest. I mean, they've not. It's not like they've not won any trophies recently. They've done brilliantly in the Europe and. But come on, it's the Premier League, and I'd forever think I was cursed if
I mean, it's not mathematically impossible for Manchester City to catch them up.
No, it's not. So
I don't think it would be fair.
It will be unlikely that they won't lose all their games.
If Manchester City win all their games. Liverpool don't win another game, Manchester City will win the league. Now, it's very highly unlikely that will happen, but...
It's not totally unlikely.
It's not impossible, no.
So, but I think on the basis...
the odds were greater for Leicester to...
On the basis that we're having to say that a season can't be cancelled, I think this is a game changer for the world of football because, obviously, there's quite clearly too much money in football for not being able, I mean, we've cancelled the Elite League, and it's big, but it's not going to finish the Elite League. Finishing from the sounds of it, the Premiership is going to cost them just short of £1 billion. So this, for me, has got to be an eye opener to the world of football to say too much money is being handed out here because it's just crazy.
This is the other problem, though. Sorry. Financial fair play comes into June. The end of June is when financial fair play comes into consideration, and clubs usually try and sell their players once the season's finished. But if we're going to extend the season, you can't then sell players. Also, contractually, they're contracted until the end of the season, which is usually May time. So it's got a massive knock-on effect to that as well.
Yeah, okay. Mike, got anything to add, mate?
Talking about the other end of the table, really, where Villa, Norwich and Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth would feel pretty aggrieved. I think they're level on points with West Ham and Watford. So any decision like that is going to really, you know, you just don't know without finishing in the league.
No.
How that could turn out. So.
And then that's the same all the way down the professional league, isn't it? So I think I might have discussed it. It's when we were munching on a KFC following our Hull River Kings game to a couple of you. I actually came up with a bit of an idea. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think it will. If it does, I might make a lot of money. But, okay, so the idea I bought, just based on the Premier League, okay, instead of having pre-season gets cancelled, okay, you give the teams a couple of weeks to get into training, okay, once it's lifted. Okay, so to determine what happens for next season, and this is both on a financial basis, sorting out who goes into Europe, who wins leagues, who gets relegated. you have a round robin tournament of, I'm going to say round robin, it's probably the wrong word because I think it'll be played, I'd say play at neutral venues. Okay. Your top, it'll be between your top six, your middle eight, and the bottom six, which makes you 20 in the Premier League. Okay. The FA Cup final won't happen. Okay. Man City already won the League Cup, and they will finish in the Champions League spaces, which then brings an extra a Europa League space available. So your top six, they all play each other once, okay? The winner of that league of six is the champion of England, okay? Your next five are all sorted out in order, they finish the tournament, goal difference or whatever, to determine who comes in the other Champions League spaces and the Europa League places. Your middle eight are playing for one thing. They're playing for the extra Europa League spot, okay? So whoever finishes top of that will, in essence, be seventh in the league, in the Premier League. They'll get that extra Europa League spot that became available because Man City have won the League Cup. They're going to finish in Europe and there will be no FA Cup final. Your bottom six is played out in a tournament and the bottom three are relegated, okay? Now, I said at the start, this might be you play for once. If you can do it where you play for twice, home and away, then great. If we're saying that it's that important to finish the league, as unfair it might be for Liverpool, they're so far ahead. But if you want to finish something as fairly as possible, this was my way of doing it, where these teams play each other and they're playing for position, then you can hand out all the accurate finances to those teams because you get money whichever position you finish in the Premier League. So you have mini tournaments, split the league up into three, have mini tournaments and you decide it some way like that. Because let's not forget, we're meant to have Euros this summer and we're not having that. So let's say this lockdown gets finished end of May, early June. You've then got time to have a couple of seasons, a couple of weeks of your teams back in training. And then you can have, let's say, Saturday, Wednesday, you know what I'm getting at. And then you can then start the following, your players are then going to be fit going into the following season. You might have to start it almost straight away, maybe delay it two or three weeks just to give them, but they're going to be fit so you can move on to the next season. That's just my, because otherwise, all you can do is, if you finish it just like that, then you're just going to have to send teams into the Champions League, the same teams that are in it this season. But for me, the biggest thing is, if you can hand a title out, you've got to hand relegation out as well. So what's the best way of getting some more football in and deciding that? I mean, that was a lot of words and a lot of sentences.
I'll email you there. Get that. I would, Pete. Get that down on paper and email the FA.
Well, you never know. I might just do that, you know. But anyone who listens to this podcast, I'd like to know your thoughts on that, because that's just something I've drummed up. I mean, it sounds complicated, but really, I don't think it is that complicated if you want to try and decide who wins the title and who goes down. Anyone got anything to add on football or anything in general?
No, I just say we've been going about an hour and a half, so probably in interest of podcasting.
We're going to finish it now. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
think about wrapping up. Pete, if that's, I could it. Give a final thank you to our sponsors for the Nottingham Vikings this year. Nottingham legend Shelley and Gavin at Nottingham's number one hockey friendly pub, also Stapleford Q Club, premier spot for snooker and pool, Maxi Muscle sports nutrition specialists, and also Motor Point. So some hassle-free car buying. So details on our website if you want to find out any more about our sponsors. But yeah, just a really, really big thank you to all of those guys for supporting us this season.
Yeah, very important. We wouldn't be playing without you guys with the help of all the sponsors that we have. So thank you to you again. Thanks for that, Mike. Well, that's it from our first podcast. Hopefully, of many. We hope you'll give it a listen and enjoy. We'll be looking for any constructive feedback, what went well, what you think we can improve on. We're here for you guys and to give off as much information as we can. It's gone a little longer than what we thought it would be, but we've been involved in some deep conversations, which has been fantastic. It's all been really good. So I just like to say goodbye from me, and I hope to see you again soon. Next podcast to you in the coming weeks. Joel, you want to say goodbye? Thanks a lot, mate.
Yeah, thanks. I would say we will appreciate anybody's input. So if anybody wants us to mention anything next time, you know, just let us know, and we'll try and get it on and discuss it. But yeah, thanks for listening, and goodbye from me.
And Mike.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and goodbye for now.
Tyrone.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And Andrew.
Yeah, thanks. Can you hear me? Yeah.
We can, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, it's been very, very, very good. Enjoyed it.
Nice one. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. And we'll hopefully see you all very, very, very soon. Take care. Goodbye.